All right, guys, it is 2025, so happy new year to you. And I am so excited that you are listening to this episode today because I feel like it is so timely to starting a new year. But this interview is with Lori Benham, and Lori has been a dear family friend of ours since like 2008, 2009. So our families are really tight. We like vacation together, and we actually just brought in the new year together back at my house in Georgia. And so it was so good. We just had like this awesome time of reflecting and encouraging and sharing testimonies of the past year together right before the ball dropped. So it was an awesome way to ring in the new year. But you guys are going to be so encouraged by this. And I promise you, it's going to help you kind of reset your mentality stepping into this next season. So I'm so glad you guys are listening. This is Lori Benham.
Yeah. Okay. So, wow. We've known each other for so long since Chase was honestly a baby. So he's 14 now. And I think it's longer than that, but that was when you guys came down and we all went to Great Wolf Lodge together.
Oh, yes. You remember that. You were so little. I would run that back tomorrow.
Yes. We haven't done that in so long. So that's when we met, and we've been just really faithful and like being intentional about getting together, which is the best.
We have. And we'll do family vacations with the Benhams. Gosh, I don't even know how many we've been on. Yeah. Your family is the family that like if we had to any time we're like, oh, let's do a trip instead of like presents for Christmas or whatever. Your family is always the first one. We're like the Benhams. That's who we're going with.
Oh, it's just same.
We're the how same it way. Is.
Yes. It's the Kendricks and the Benhams. We know how to do vacation together. We know how to eat. We know how to have fun. We know how to like be with the Lord together. Everything is just natural, you know?
That's so true.
So yeah. So we've known each other for a while now. And so now in this stage of life, it's very different. Almost all of our kids are out of the house. So I am home with a much quieter house now and still doing the thing I love, which is teaching. I tutor, help especially with kids that are learning how to read. Love it. And I also very much love the home, love being, you know, a support to David in any way I can. He travels a lot. So we've been traveling a lot more lately, which is
And you're going
amazing.
With him?
A little bit
That's
more.
So fun.
Not as much as I want to, but with Chase still in the house, all the logistics are, you know, getting him to point A to B usually requires me to be home, but we've gone on a lot more trips together, which has been fun. So that's the stage we're at. And honestly, having older kids now, we do a lot more traveling. Like I travel a lot. So that's why it's nice to have a flexible job for both of us where we can travel a little bit, go to visit the kids, and they're a little bit far away. So we have to travel like to Texas and to Nashville and all the places. So now
How fun,
to
though.
Liberty. Yeah. So it's a really sweet, sweet stage of life. So
I love that. Okay. So with teaching, did you go to college to study?
Yes. So I went to Liberty University for elementary education. So elementary, K through six. Yeah. And I knew right away. I mean, I did when I was young, I did all the babysitting. I did the VBSs. Like I threw my whole heart and soul into them. So I kind of knew at an early age that kids is what makes me happy. It's where my sweet spot is. And I love them. So I feel like I taught for 2 years or a year before I got David and I got married right away, right after college. So I had done my student teaching. Hopped into my first year of teaching, but got pregnant that first year. And so immediately I was like, I had this feeling like, I don't want to go back in the classroom. Like I'm just going to be a mom. Like, that's what I really want to do. That's like where my heart's at. So I was able to do that. Praise God. And I could come home, be with Bailey. And then it never, and then about like when he was about five, we were thinking about schools. I put him into preschool for like a half of a semester. And I was like, I'm pulling him out. I'm doing this myself. Like I everything was itching in me to do it. So I was a little scared, but I did it. And then we never looked back for like 15 years. So I taught my kids for 15 years and it was amazing. It was like really hard and it was a lot, but it was the most rewarding thing. They loved it. Like looking back now, they can say it was the best. At times we were all like, what are we doing? But in the middle of it, it's always hard, but there was a great bonding between all the siblings. We got to a lot of flexibility to travel with David. We honestly had the best community. So there were so many good factors, you know, happening that it just made for a really great experience. So, and then when the kids left, I thought, what am I going to do? Like I've been teaching all this time. And so I go back into the classroom just as an assistant. loved it and noticed that there were a lot of kids that needed help in reading in our classroom alone. Like just our 20 kids, like there are probably three that could use a little extra tutoring on the side. So my teacher and I were talking and I'm like, I think I could teach them how to read. And I was going through this Ord Gilliam teaching method at the time. And I was trying to get my certificate in it. Hadn't finished it yet, but felt real confident in it. And I thought, I think I can teach them. I'm really feeling like I can with all my resources. So I pulled them out like at the end of the day or during class and started tutoring. And I loved it. And I knew
the one-on-one.
One-on-one. Yeah. Okay. I was like, I like this better. I don't have to grade papers. I don't have to, you know, do all the stuff at home while being at school all day. Like it just was the sweetest kind of in between job. So I was like, I'm going to do this. And so I've been doing it on my own, like just privately ever since. And I love it.
That's great. I love that you had that like when your kids left, because you have one at the house still.
Yes.
And you have five.
Yes.
Where his five. But I love that you were able to jump back into that after they left and keep going. Because I know that's a hard transition from what I hear.
Oh my goodness. I feel like around your 40s, it's what happens. You're like, wait, what? Your kids are gone. It's what you poured your whole life into. And you're like, what? Wait, what am I good at again? Like, Lord, how can you use me? Like, I want to be used, but I'm kind of floundering right now. So it was during that kind of discovery time, like talking a lot to David, like, babe, what do you think? Like, I feel like I've got so much to give, but I don't know where. And I did try a couple different things. But it really came down to what do I come alive doing that I know God made me to do, and teaching was one of them. So
that's so good. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So when your family was just at our house for New Year's, just a few days ago, when I asked you if you had anything specific on your heart to share, actually I asked your daughter Ava first. I was like, what is your mom really passionate about? She said it's been super cool watching you walk through different seasons of life, battling with fear, and then overcoming it, and then teaching your kids how to do that. She said, even in parenting, I've seen such a such a change in her from a few years ago to now. And so I know we started talking on that, but let's hit that topic, because that's something I know every person on earth struggles with that.
Yes.
And every season of that looks different. But how has that looked different, like before you were married, when you were single, into marriage, into parenting, kind of? Those were kind of the three main seasons of life that I feel like are so huge for so many people.
I think when I was a kid, my fear kind of presented itself in insecurity, fear of what people thought, fear of what, you know, I might say wrong. So I was a little bit more timid. I wasn't afraid necessarily. I've always been like adventurous. So I wasn't afraid to start new things, do new things, or do things on my own. But I think I definitely cared what people thought. So probably when I was really young, that's what I thought of the most. And that's where fear kind of gripped me. I think as I got into college, I still was very much like, I moved into college like by myself, like set it up. I was good. I was very independent, and didn't really fear a lot when I was in college, like young adult. But it was more for like the same, like trying to figure out who I am and being confident in that. So I think fear of like other people's opinions at times, but not, it wasn't that strong at that point. I didn't really fear as much. When I was young, I felt like I was kind of just wild free. Like, I'm just going to do it. Yep. I'm just going to have fun.
If I fail, I fail.
I just loved it. Yeah. I just loved trying new things, and I wasn't really fearful. But I will say, like, when I got married, when I had kids, incrementally, because I hadn't practiced disciplining my mind and my heart in the disciplines of memory, scripture, just taking my thoughts captive, I felt like fear slowly got a hold of me, like got a hold of my thoughts, and really made it hard for me to walk in the fullness of what I was supposed to walk into, in the confidence of the Lord. So I think it starts with marriage and like the big decision of who you're going to marry. And then after you get married, if things aren't going like you thought, that can be produce a lot of fear. And then as you have kids, there's a whole nother level of fear, all the things that could go wrong. Those things then become another source of fear. So I think as I got older, the fear honestly increased. And I was not aware of how my thoughts played such a huge part of my fear. And because I didn't have to practice it as much when I was young, like it really didn't affect me as much when I was young. So if you don't practice, you know, taking your thoughts captive, all these things are training. And if you're not doing the things before you get married or before you get have kids, and you're not taking the time to really really practice and train, because we're supposed to be training. This is part of the battle between, you know, the visible and the non-visible. I feel like you will not be prepared to handle the bigger stuff as you get into more serious things. So it got definitely incrementally a lot more entangled as I get older, for sure.
I feel like that's what anxiety is, though. It's just like when you can't stop the spiral of thoughts.
And I think I had the spiraling is the worst. I think I had two things going on. I had, I'm kind of a feeler, so I've had to learn how to really work through those feelings and how to take control of them. David always has said that when you feel anxiety, you're like projecting powerlessness into the future. And so anxiety comes when you're projecting powerlessness. You're not thinking about the Lord. You're not thinking about how he reigns over everything. You're only thinking about your sickness or this relationship issue or the next housing that you're going to find, or maybe a job. You know, when you are full of fear, God is so small. Like, he is so small. It makes God small because you're focusing on all those things, all those issues, and it doesn't require a lot of faith. It just requires you harping and thinking about the same thing constantly. And that doesn't require any faith. And that is not the solution to overcoming it, is focusing on the problem. The answer to this is a lot of things, but number one, it's capturing each thought and making it obedient to Christ. Like, when you are fearful and everything around you is so big, but God has a small part in it, you are going to be so anxious and full of fear. Yeah. And so in that sense, like, I had to learn, like, to take scripture to heart and to really think through, like, what is scripture saying? And I had a lot of scripture memorized, right? So, like, I had lots of years before I got married, where I had time to memorize and read the Bible through and all that. But the other part to memorizing scripture and knowing scripture, growing up in a Christian home, all that, is then you have to apply it. You have to take the things that you know, and then you have to apply it. Actually do it. Yeah. And I was telling, like, that story to you guys, and it's happened to me many times where I will be begging the Lord for something. I will be full of fear, and I'll be going over and over without mindless almost. Jesus, please help me, God. I don't know that I can go through this. I don't know that this outcome's going to be, you know, the right one. I'm not sure what to do. Like, whatever it is, I can go on and on to the Lord. And it was like in the middle of my prayer, I remember it was almost like I sensed the Lord just wanted me to stop, because I could hear myself. I could hear my voice just going round and round in circles. And it wasn't full of faith. And it was all it was focusing on all those problems. God was pretty small in that prayer. And then it wasn't until I stopped. And then I said, Lord, I know you want me to have faith. This is really hard. It was the biggest pull against my flesh, because I felt like the Lord just wanted me to pray about it one time, leave it in his hands, and walk away. And in the middle of that, it felt better just to pray over and over and over again over the same thing. But to walk away. Yeah, exactly. He didn't hear me.
I'm not sure you heard me. I'll repeat myself.
Yes. I didn't say it right. Maybe I wasn't full of faith. Maybe I was, you know, I'm always thinking of the things I'm doing wrong. And the Lord's like, no, I'm bigger than all of these things.
That's huge. Like, I'm just thinking of things I've been praying for recently. And I'm like, it is a fear of, I didn't say that right. Or I didn't, maybe I'm not viewing this right. And he's not going to answer until I change the way I'm praying about it. But that's so true. I haven't really thought of it that way, of leaving it in his hands. You shared on that at New Year's, and I was gosh.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And I remember reading a verse in the Bible about Sarah, and then one translation said, you will be like Sarah if you do not fear the fretful things. I remember that was one of the translations. You will not fear the fretful things. Like, I can think of a million things that I fear in my life. Yeah. And they are the things that are scary or overwhelming, or that I don't know how they'll end. Mm-hmm. And I'm taught not to fear those things. So then one thing that helped me was also looking at the verse, and I have it for today because it was so convicting, and it was from James, and it said, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask the Lord who gives mm-hmm. generously without finding fault. And when he asks, he must believe and not doubt.
Yeah.
That is a pivotal part of this prayer when feeling that's fear. So
that's so hard.
How do I do this?
Yeah.
Yes. And it says he who doubts is like a wave being tossed in the sea,
right?
Back and forth and back and forth. And don't you feel like that when you're praying out of fear?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. another thing I think of is, I think it's in Job, maybe the story mm-hmm. of Job, but yes. Talking about being double-minded. Is
yes.
it Job?
Yes.
There's a verse
yes.
in scripture. It talks yes. about being double-minded and how that yes. man is like ineffective. And yes. I was like, this was like last year I heard that verse. And I was like,
yes.
So how do you go about, I don't know, because mm-hmm. so much of that has to do with fear and
yep.
going back and forth and not just leaving it at the
yes.
at the Lord's feet. But I don't know, when they were talking about the one that is double-minded is not effective.
That's right.
And I was like, that's right. How? That's right. How do I know? So that was a huge thing this past year. I was like, I don't want to be double-minded. Mm-hmm. Yet there's so much I'm unsure of. So
yes.
I'm still trying to figure out how those, like, it feels so blurry, the line yes. between the two of those.
Yes. Well, I mean, insanity is always doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, right?
Right. Yes.
It can be the same thing in our prayer. We can be doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result, which is we are not filled with faith. We are not mm-hmm. overcoming, and we are definitely not living in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the way to get there is by not just this one shining moment. It's like the faithfulness in the quiet place, the faithfulness when you're going through hard things, stressful things. And that mm-hmm. looks like you're taking every thought captive, and then you are quoting back to yourself what is true about the Lord. He is our healer. He is our hope. He yeah. is our strength. He is the one that if all else fails, he is always, always with us. He never forsakes us. And mm-hmm. really what it comes down to is taking God's word for what it is. Like, do we hear it a lot, but do we really believe right. that God means what he says? I mean, I've been memorizing this year, because fear has been something I've been dealing with, I have been memorizing Psalm 27. And one of my favorite parts in that verse that I cling to, because it is the word that is really going to strengthen you, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to you and help you to remember these verses when you're in trouble. But he can't, you know, you can't really bring something to mind that you never put thought to or even action to. So if you're not right. memorizing and really spending time in God's word, I mean, the Holy Spirit can do that no matter what, but it really does help when you have the word of God in you, because it says he will bring those things back to you. He'll
right.
bring them. And so one of the parts of the verse says, when in the day of trouble, it says he will hide you. He will keep you safe in his dwelling. He will hide you in a secret tent, and he will set you high upon a rock. I feel like when you're caught in that time of anxiety or that unsureness and your fear, your problems are what's big at that point. So you have to go back mm-hmm. to the word of God. You have to know scripture. You have to have some verses that are there that are yeah. going to bring back and really make God big again.
Right.
He's the answer. He's really your stronghold. And you read things like that, and then you believe. You say, I'm taking you at your word. I don't feel it. It doesn't even make sense. I don't even know how this is going to work, but I'm going to take you at your word, because I'm making you bigger than my problem right now.
Right.
So it
right.
has to be an act of will. Several years ago, where I think I heard it somewhere, it says, God is over all of our, even our mistakes. Like, I used to always feel like once I made a mistake, it's going to be hard to recover.
Right.
I just keep reminding myself, no, the Lord is over all these things. He gives us free will to make decisions, and we want to go to him. We want the Holy Spirit's guiding. But ultimately, there are some decisions we just have to make. And the Lord is over all of those things. Like, how big is he in your life? Do you really believe that if you mess up and you make maybe like a tenth, you're a tenth off, you know, right. to making the right, you really don't think he'll cover that tenth, you know, like, he's amazing. He will. And the verse that has been encouraging to me, because I'm always like, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to be doing what you want me to be doing. I always knew that giving thanks for everything helps you to see clearly, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to make a decision, you're not doing it out of grumbling like the Israelites, you're not complaining, you're not looking at woe is me, you know, mm-hmm. all the kind of ways you can approach a decision. Mm-hmm. But when you approach it with thanksgiving, thank you, God, you're in control. Thank you that you see the beginning from the end. And then I think it's 1 Thessalonians, but it talks about pray continuously, rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances.
Yeah.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be assured that when you're doing those things, all of them, you're faithful. You're faithful in little. You're reading the word. You're spending time with him. You're listening to him. You're humble before him. You're making him Lord. And then you are taking those three things, rejoicing always, you know, praying continuously, giving thanks in all situations. Like those are three really hard things to do. But if you're doing those things faithfully, God just takes the ship and he steers it with those little acts of obedience, those little acts of faithfulness. Before you know it, you're making these bigger decisions and he's led you all the way there.
Yep.
So it really is the little things.
But it has to be so consciously done.
Yes.
It's like, I think we're like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Of course I need to give thanks and have gratitude. Yep. But like you said, that's not easy. It's not
so hard.
It's so hard to do. So I think that takes more effort than we realize in practicing. Like when you said training, that's exactly what it is. It's training, being like, I'm in this spot again. What do you do? But it's like, just practicing it. There was a verse I read the other day, and I think it was Psalms or Proverbs 16, but it says greater is a man that rules his spirit than he who, takes a bunch of land. That's not what it says referred, but it was like, it literally said, better is he who rules his spirit. And I was like, which means we are capable of ruling our spirit. And that was like, wow, that is something you will have to practice for the rest of our lives, but I bet it gets easier. Like the more you do it.
It really does. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking of while you were talking about that. 'Cause it's practice.
And it's so hard because I think social media has made it hard to be faithful in the little, because you see people with platforms or you see people, they're more in front than they ever have been. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to really get caught up in being, you know, noticed is really the end of all. Like you have your calling when you have arrived at a certain like platform that you kind of have a snapshot in your mind of what is it, like this is it. And it makes faithfulness look kind of measly, like, oh, so being faithful in my decisions, being faithful in the way I react to my roommate, being faithful the way that I honor God when no one's looking, those things really aren't looked upon as like what the ideal when you've made it. But those are the very things that literally lead you in your life to where God wants you. The faithful acts of the obedience to God is what leads you into your calling. And your calling could be anything. It could be, for me, it could be a teacher faithfully in a classroom of 20 kids for 50 years and no one ever sees that. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, I get to then be used of the Lord, and like, it really over time becomes very evident if I have been faithful in the little. Whereas if you just all of a sudden get there and you're not practicing these things every day, you're going to get there and you're not going to be ready. You really are only ready.
Crumble faster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll crumble very fast. But I feel like that if we can focus on the small of like little disciplines, daily disciplines, you know, making our choices like really matter. And honestly, disciplining ourselves to be in the word and prayer every day. Like those are that's where it's at, you know?
I feel like you and Mr. David and the rest of your family, that's something I feel like every time we hang out with y'all, I leave and I'm like, all right, this is something I want to do better at. Like just the discipline and the little things. And you even told me about habit stacking.
Yes.
But I feel like when you guys have been really intentional, both like in your walk with the Lord, but also taking care of your body, taking care of the house, taking care of, you know, work,
all the things. And I feel like you guys doing that in each of those other areas has probably strengthened you so much spiritually when it comes to your walk with the Lord.
That's so true.
Like what we were talking about, taking dominion the other night of each area of your life. I was like, had 7-hour drive home, and I was like trying to come up with a game plan in my head to like strategize like that because I was like, I bet if I'm doing that in like just in my room, taking care of my room and then my house and then work and then all these things, like it, like building the discipline in those areas is what's going to help me spiritually too.
100%.
So, but that's something you guys do so well. Like I love hearing, and even the other friends that we had over at the house for New Year's left, and they, I had like two of them come talk to me about specifically what you and Mr. David shared on with that. So props to you guys, because I can tell you, you have trained and had to be faithful for years and teaching your kids. Your kids are really good at that as well. I feel like they do a really good job. Like Ella, last time Ella was here, she was like, yeah, I'm working on this, this. And I literally asked her, I was like, how did you have the capacity? She's like 3 years younger than me, 2 years maybe. And I was like, how did you have the capacity to like do all that while you're in school? And and I was so impressed. I was like, you got certified in this and knocked out this.
Right.
And I was like, but I know that you still have time to like rest. Like I know that she prioritizes her quiet time with the Lord and even just sitting. She, I know she writes like poems. She's a beautiful writer.
That's so true.
And so I was like, you yet still like you protect that time. And so I was like, wow, that's cool to see that your parents have trained you guys so well doing that. And she was like, you just block. So anyway, we talked more strategy after that. And she was like, you just got to block it out and protect that time and then actually do it. Like block it out.
That's
time,
what it
you know,
is.
Whatever that's called. Time
action.
Blocks. And then taking action, actually do it. And I was like, it's so simple. Why
is
it so hard?
Oh, it is. But the simplest things are the hardest things, or else everybody would be doing them and they'd all be, you know, miles ahead. It's just the few, you know, it's like finding the Lord. You search for him with all your heart, like hidden treasure. I mean, not everybody's doing that. So there's different levels of knowing the Lord and intimacy with him. It really is. And we are body, soul, and spirit. So it makes sense that everything would be connected when I fast. And the other thing I want to back up is, it's so neat hearing you say that about even David and I. It's so humbling and so like exciting to see what God has done in our marriage, in our family, and in my own individual life. If you would have told me at 20 that you'd be saying that about me now, I would not believe you. I mean,
really? It wasn't easy.
Oh my goodness.
Not something you were natural at?
No. Oh my goodness. My room was an absolute wreck. Like you could not walk in my room. It was disgusting. Like I think back, I'm like, how was I like that? My friend had to like, my friend Laura in school, she had to teach me. She was an athlete. She was on the track team. She had to teach me how to eat healthy. I was like a carboholic and she had to teach me how to eat, you know, like I can't. I mean, I've had people in my life that are more disciplined than me that have been inspiring to like want to memorize scripture, want to read through the Bible. My husband, he reads the Bible every single year year. And I don't do it every year. It takes me like a year and a half, sometimes almost 2 years, because I always do like a 2 chapters a day works for me, because it gives me time to like meditate and to pray and to listen. So I can't do all that reading and do it in a year, but I figured out what works for me to stay. So I just think with you saying that is so encouraging, but I want to encourage other people, like it's a lifetime. It's like you just pick one thing and you learn that one thing, you master that one thing, and then you move on to the next thing that you want. It's like the Lord is walking with us daily. It doesn't have to be overwhelming, because all the things you're saying have happened over time. Like it hasn't been quick and it hasn't been something that just came to me. Like it really isn't. I've never been super organized or really good at mastering these things. So it is encouraging to know, like, this is what the Lord does. The Lord brings you fullness. And part of that is he brings dominion over every part of your life as you give it up to him. Yeah. So I think asking good questions and being around people that inspire you, that really you're with them and you walk away and you're like, okay, I can do better.
Changes
I can
something.
Do so much
yes.
better. Yeah.
Yes.
Those are like all key. And it's not a lost cause. Like you can do it. Even if you feel like you're at the lowest point, or if you feel like you don't have disciplines, it just starts with one thing. And then the Lord adds another and another. It's really encouraging to me that you would even say that about my own kids. Like if I look back in high school, Ava was not like that even a year ago. And she is like blowing me away. Yes.
Seeing her this year, because I don't get to see her all that often, has been nuts. Like, because she slept, we shared a bed over New Year's, and so we just got to talk, and I was like,
what is happening?
I saw the growth. Absolutely.
That's right.
In her, but I believe that.
Yes. So it's the Lord. It's your faithfulness in the Lord. And it is those small acts of obedience. I mean, she started little by little. She got dominion over her thoughts. She got dominion over her eating, over her body, like what's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just those small disciplines, and they start to, it's like you start small, but then if you're faithful, it magnifies really quick. It's like a snowball going down the hill. It's like you pick up one area of faithfulness, and you really are asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate areas that you need help in or what you could master. And he starts telling you, and then you start working on those things, and you, with his help, you're slowly picking up momentum. And then before you know it, it is like a snowball. And I feel like that is the beauty of people who have been walking with the Lord for a long time. People that have been in marriage for a long time. None of this comes easy, but like when you stay faithful to it and get on the other side of it, it is so worth it. Like, but you've got to stay in it, and you got to
it's the determination.
Yes. Yes.
Like, how determined are you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Did you find that, like, I know some people are naturally more determined than others. Like, they can be like, I'm going to do this, even if nobody else is doing it with me, and they'll just knock it out. I have a harder time with that. I'm like, okay, somebody hold me accountable, please. So was that something you had to do? Like, did you always have someone who kind of like stayed on your tail, or was it more just between you and the Lord? Some people can make, they can tell the Lord they're going to do something and stick with it.
Yes.
I feel like I need somebody calling me, being like, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I do need people around me. For sure. Like David used to always help me with like the working out thing, because working out was his thing. Yes. So I didn't love it. Now I actually do love it. Like, I need it, but I wasn't like that. So I do need he's like a perfect example of somebody that doesn't need anybody to motivate him.
Right.
But that's why our iron sharpens iron, because, you know, we're more feelers. So we might be the ones to slow down and like think through it a little bit more and add the detail to it. Whereas they're the ones that are just like going full charge ahead. And that's why we need each other. We just need each other. He really has helped me in that area, and lots of areas, but that's one of them. But I do need people in my life to help me, encourage me. I have to be in the gym and see other women my age that are killing it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. I do not need to keep, you know, backing off on my diet. I can do this. And so I do need people, but I do feel like when I commit to the Lord, I do have like a fear of like, okay, I committed it. I know there's grace, and I don't want to get legalistic about it, but I do. I want my yes to be yes, and my no to be yes. So I will, if I commit to the Lord, I'm like, that's why I'm not quick to commit things to the Lord unless I feel like I know I can do it. But I will need people there with me. Like, I will need to tell somebody I committed this, you know, and I want to watch them. I want to be around people that are moving forward, that love God, that are committed to him, that are on mission. Like, that inspires me. I love that. I love seeing people on mission. There's nothing more inspiring.
Right. Well, you guys, that's something every time, even when we were little and we'd come up to visit y'all in North Carolina, I noticed that, because we'd come watch some of your CrossFit competitions, or even just being your neighborhood at your house, the families that would come through and hang out. That was something I noticed. I remember when I was younger, I was like, they have some wild people surrounding them, like in the best way.
It's so true.
And I was like, wow, and getting older, I remember your husband was telling me, he said, I forget if it was the five S's, and I don't remember all of them, but he was talking about, I'm trying to remember. He said, he was talking specifically about like your husband and wife, but he was like, these are the five things that like really, really bond you. I remember he said sweat, when you sweat together.
I think I remember that.
Serve together.
Yes.
And then when you suffer together.
Yes. That's a
and
big
then,
one.
There was two more, but there was, it was so good. I'd never heard it before. The other two? Suffer, serve, sweat.
Isn't that funny? I can't remember. He must not be saying it anymore.
We should ask him. He must not be saying it anymore. Well, I just remember, I just was like, I loved, because I was so talking about y'all's, even just your workout community.
Yes.
And watching, I noticed there were so many husbands and wives who did it together. And I was like, that's so cool.
It is.
That's so cool. But I just felt like, I don't know. I felt like that was one, like even just you guys doing workouts together, I felt like that was such a cool bonding, just such a healthy thing for couples to do together if they're able to. But anyways, but I've always loved watching the community you guys keep. And it's made even just our friend group we have here in Nashville, we've talked about it so much. And we've been like, that is so key to just like not just being successful, but just like thriving and accountability. And is and we've always known community is huge, but it's cool that you guys have like displayed that so well all throughout life. Because I know some people, when they get married, they can kind of just want to be off in their own world. You know, with their family, the way they like to do things. And so keeping a community like that has been really cool to watch.
It honestly, and sometimes when you're in it, you don't even know how good you have it until you like step out and look in it and see. Like, it's so funny because my kids have come back and they're like, I didn't realize how good the community here has been. Like, it's amazing. I can't believe that how many marriages, you know, that have people are still married, and they're not just married, but they're thriving. And just how there's so many people like seeking the Lord, serving the Lord. And it really is pretty awesome, but it's been a real intentional choice. So it's not like that it was always easy, or that there weren't issues, or even that at times you were like wanting to throw the towel in. But I feel like that's one thing, that's one part of faithfulness, is when you have a garden, you tend to that garden and you stay faithful to that garden. And whoever puts in your garden, you really learn how to be faithful in that area, and you learn relationships and when to, you know, say yes, when to say no, when what's healthy, what's not. I feel like if you're not putting yourself in those situations that are a little bit uncomfortable, you won't really learn as much about yourself, but you won't learn as much about others. And God has taught me so much just in that community that I needed to know and I needed to learn. I wouldn't have learned if I was just a solo, like an island unto myself. I would not have learned.
I wish I could have, I so badly wish I could have met you and Mr. David when you were like fresh out of college. I wish I could have met you guys then. Cause I know, I mean, it's crazy hearing you talk about where you guys were at and where you're at now. It's so,
so different. I feel like I was, I feel like I'm getting my confidence back, but I do feel like one thing that the Lord has been teaching me about fear is just, I do. I've always struggled with like what people think or how I'm perceived. And the Lord has been doing such a beautiful work in that, like helping me to let go of those and to be like fully known, fully loved. And it really is something that takes time for the Lord just to like kind of get into every little closet you have in your heart and kind of like work on those areas that are hidden. And when I was young, I think it was just like, David and I were both just like, I want to say unhinged in the best way, but we were just like, you know, like didn't care. I didn't think about anything. Like, and in a lot of ways, maturity helps you to think through things that you should have probably thought through. So in that sense, I'm so thankful I've grown up. But I do want the Lord to bring back some of that. Like,
I was about to say, weren't you so that sounds amazing. Because I feel like that's not most people. They're just like,
it's so
that
true.
Carefree. It's like, I genuinely don't care. Not like inconsiderate of others, but just like.
Yes, there's such a balance. But I didn't, I definitely was more like that. And I'm like, God, I want to be more like that. Give me that part of me back when I was 20. Now when I'm 50 and I kind of feel like things come, you know, full circle. Like, I do feel like the Lord is doing that, you know, it just takes time of like, okay.
Oh, I've witnessed it. I'm thinking New Year's last year when we all you were in the middle of the dance floor.
That was 20-year-old Lori.
Okay, but let me tell you, that is like the best thing. Like, it's so fun witnessing that. And even my mom, I've watched, or both my parents really, like I've watched them become more quote unquote unhinged in a lot of ways. It's where they just like, and it helps when your kids are grown.
I know it does
a lot.
Yes.
But it's been so much fun, like becoming more of a friend. They become more of a friend. So it's cool, like while the Lord's doing that in you, it's like, I don't know, it's so encouraging to your kids to see too.
And it is.
And even your relationship, I mean, knowing your kids pretty well and hearing how your daughters talk about their relationship with you, I'm like,
That sounds like some, I know there's been some crazy growth for you guys.
Yes.
In your relationship. So that's cool that it's affecting your kids so much too, as you're learning that.
Yeah. Cause as I have learned how to have more faith in the Lord, I have faith for my kids. I have faith for my future. I have faith for all the things that the Lord wants to do, because before, fear kind of did get in the way. Like, I would want to control more. I would want to be hovering more, or I just would be fearful, which when you're fearful, that is no fun to be around. Like, you're constricted. There's just a way about you when you're full of fear that is not authentic, and it's not yourself, and it's certainly not reflective of the Lord. So like, it's not even that much fun to be around. So I feel like as the Lord has really healed me from a lot of that and freed me from fear, which is a constant choice, I feel like our relationship has blossomed, because I can see them go through hard things. I can see them suffer, and I can know that the Lord will work all things for good. Like, I know that in my heart, and I'm willing to believe that's true. Whereas before, I might see going through hard things, and I honestly couldn't see the other side of it. And I did not truly believe that the Lord would work all things for good. I really didn't.
Right.
If I did, I think it would have shaped the way I would have thought. But now I really, truly believe the Lord. Like, I have gone worst case possible situation in my mind of a lot of different scenarios.
For sure.
And said, if God, if this happened, which is the worst case scenario, are you still God? Yes, you are. I fully believe that. So when I got to that point of saying that in every area, which my biggest fears were, it like centered me in a way that I had never had before. So I think parent, I like now can really trust that when they come to me, I can take those things and I don't have to internalize them and keep them and fret on them and be anxious about them. They can bring them to me, and I'm going to be concerned. I'm going to bring them up in prayer, and I'm going to take them serious, but I'm not like frozen in fear because of them. I'm like free to like take authority of what God has given us as his children. I could take that to him in prayer, because I have authority because of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. Like, all of that is under all of these situations. And I have so much more confidence now in that. So I'm probably a lot more fun to talk about it.
100%, right?
You know? It helps to have like a long-term goal. Like, where do you want to be in 20 years? Like, do you want to be the woman or man that comes into a room and you haven't learned very much about the Lord, haven't allowed him to, you haven't walked with him, you haven't allowed yourself to fully be, you know, exposed and open and bare before him so that you can grow and thrive? Are you the one that was afraid to make mistakes, so you kind of stayed in the same rut? Or are you the one that, you know, lived life to the fullest because you were okay with like falling down and getting back up, and really allowing the Lord to just kind of shave off these areas of your life that need to be shaved off, letting other people really help shave those places off that need to be shaved off.
Yeah.
And helping, like, I'm a caretaker now for my parents, and it's taught me more about my end goals than anything. Like, my mom has dementia. Oh, yeah. So she's not able to, she doesn't even know what she's saying sometimes. But you know what's so neat about that? Who she really is what comes out. And she is the sweetest, loves the Lord, prays about everything. And I kept thinking, if all my senses were taken away from me, and I'm at the end, what's left? Like, I want it to be like that. I want to be so formed by God that by the end, my kids, my grandkids can look to me and say, wow, she has faith. She has authority in the Lord. Like, she loves people. She's gentle. She's kind. Like, she truly isn't afraid of everything around her. And that has been a huge motivator for me. Like, what do I want to be in 20 years, 30 years? Like, I want at the core, I don't want to hide things because it's going to come out eventually.
Right.
I want to be all in. And I want at the end of my life to, whenever that is, it could be tomorrow. I don't know, but I hope it's not. But I'm just saying, you don't know. You don't know when your last breath is. But I want at the end of my life to be like, okay, she walks with the Lord and I can see it. There's something different, her light, her eyes, something. And that's not an overnight thing. You know, it's that daily faithfulness again that gets you there. So.
But you can see it when you're talking to someone and they're just, I don't know, you know, when you leave a conversation, yes. And I definitely feel this way with you guys, like, and it's like, wow, they not like carefree. It's really like this carefree feeling of like, they're just not worried. Like they're not, they're not bogged down. And everyone has seasons, like not every season will feel like that, but,
so true.
But, but I know I sense that around you guys. That's something I love so much about even just watching you and Mr. David. When I get to see you guys, I'm like, they just seem so fresh and alive and young. And like,
well, that's a testimony to the Lord.
Life.
For sure. It's not always been like, I've definitely been through seasons of major lulls, and it was really hard when fear gripped me, or just, oh, because the other thing is, that I've thought about a lot lately is I'm a feeler. And if there are any feelers around me, and we talk about this, it's the same thing. You take on all the emotions of everybody around you. And, you know, one thing I've learned lately is I'm not responsible for everybody's emotions around me. I'm only responsible for myself. So that's been a big change. And then another thing I heard, I always heard what I mentioned earlier that David said, anxiety is powerlessness projected into the future. So that's when anxiety takes you to, oh my goodness, what's going to happen in the future in this situation? Or, oh my goodness, who am I going to marry? Or all the things you think about it, you know, and or about money, whatever it is. But then there's also when you're a feeler, especially, is when you linger too much in the past, you can be full of grief because you're lingering. It says that there's a verse that talks about like putting your hand on the plow and moving forward and not looking back. And I think there's so much confidence in that, because you can really get stuck and not be free when you're like anxious about the future, or you're lingering on the past. You're lamenting like for too long. Like, yes, you have to look back at you. There's reflection. I get that. But for someone that like can stay too long in the past, or kind of wishing you did things differently. What if I went with plan A instead of plan B?
Right.
You really are going to get stuck, and you really have to trust that the Lord sees where you are now and can do anything he chooses. So it's like that confidence in the Lord again. Like, yes, there's things I could have done differently. I have regrets for sure, but I'm not going to linger in them anymore. I'm not going to sit there and then, cause I find myself getting full of sadness or grief or discouragement that can easily be overcome. Like, and I can't do anything to change that. So that's another part of living free, is not looking too far ahead or even too far behind. Yeah. It's like, are you present right now? Where are you right now with the Lord? You know?
Yeah. That's so good. I love the scripture that's like a lamp to my feet. Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then it's like, when you think of it, a lamp only like shines so far. I don't remember who like painted this picture for me one day.
I heard that too, and I love it.
And it's, I was like, that is so, that's something I literally paint in my own head all the time.
I love
just to be like, okay, just to like bring everything back in.
Yes.
It's funny. I realized the other day I was praying on the way here, and I was like, God, I've been asking for like greater perspective so that I don't get so stuck in things. Yes. But then I've realized I kind of wanted to like reel it back in, because I think I had been trying to think so big picture so much, or be like, what's going on in the spirit? Like I almost felt too much. And then I was like, okay. I was like, let's reel it back in. Thank you for that. Yes. And then I was like, okay, but I need to be taking one step at a time. So it's so funny, because I was like, I need this, but I also need this like right here just to figure out the next thing. And so now I've been kind of trying to practice more like.
Yeah. We need more structure.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, because when I go so big picture sometimes, because I want to have the greater perspective or whatever, it's, I can get so. I'm not very effective, because I'm like, there's 70 things I want to do and 70 different things I need to work on. And then I get completely overwhelmed. Yeah. And so being faithful in those little practices, like we're talking about at the beginning, is something that I was mapping out on the way home. And I was like, all right, we got to strategize.
There's so much ahead. It's exciting. Yeah. When you're walking with the Lord and you know you're not going to be like, he's going to be like, oh, you messed up here. No, you shouldn't do that. It's not that. It isn't that. And the more you have relationship with him, and you feel how, you know, you connect the dots with what's in the word and then what's he saying and then what's going on in the world around us and how mm-hmm. it's not just us. It's his story and what he has, what he's doing in other countries, what he's doing with believers around the world.
Right.
What, you know, I'm living my life. Well, there are martyrs that are dying for their faith. Like yeah. There's so much more. And yep. it's exciting if we could just like align ourselves in the Lord for those things, because we're going to miss it if we don't. Like, we will get too consumed with the day to day, or we'll consumed with all the big picture, you know? It's like, that's why it's a relationship and not a formula. It's like every day relationship is spending time and being with somebody. So that's really how you're going to align yourself with the Lord.
All right. So good. I'm so glad you guys were able to hear from Lori. But I hope you're leaving that conversation fired up and determined on a whole nother level going into this next year, that we're going to take our thoughts captive and we're going to make them obedient to Christ, and that we are going to speak truth in scripture when we start to spiral, and that we're going to leave things at the feet of Jesus. So it sounds simple and easy, and I know that it's not, but it's just going to take training and time. So give yourselves grace, but I'm just going to pray for like a fresh determination over everybody who listens to this episode. But I'm so grateful for Lori, and thank you guys again for tuning in. It genuinely means the world, and I'm just excited to get to do this. So I hope that you are blessed with every episode, and Happy New Year's, guys. I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.